Great, can't help it. Usually I do it with a little bit more excitement, so I'm going easy on you. It is the beginning of the new liturgical year, which begins with the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. So we are now in Advent. Advent means coming, so it's this time of waiting for Jesus coming into the world to live among us. And there's always a weird beginning to Advent, which is the sort of these cataclysmic texts, these apocalyptic, you know, where things are just blowing apart and coming undone. So we get to enter into that a little bit today. For the 4 weeks of Advent, we will be using portions of Unfailing Light, so I'm hoping that will be familiar to some of you. Know that we'll be kind of skipping around a little bit in it, as well as singing some Advent hymns in our red hymn book. So the three things that you need, I thought it'd be nice to have a half sheet that gives you the order. We will be using those for the next 4 weeks. So if you could hold, use them gently, that would be great. And then you need the Unfailing Light booklet and then your red hymn books. You the complete set for worship tonight. Let us take a moment to ground ourselves in this space. We begin with a brief order of confession and forgiveness. It's found on page 20 in the backs of your book. Small gray ones. We begin in the name of the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt, but looks upon us in compassion, forgives our sins, and heals our lives. Therefore, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. We hold a couple moments of silence for reflection. Have mercy, O God. Against you, you alone have we sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt. Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away,
but fill us with your Holy Spirit
and restore your joy within us. As tender as parent to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far as east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
We turn now just a couple pages forward in your booklets to an alternate gathering rite. It's the Kyrie, and I invite you to join singing in that together with me.
Thank you.
Protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and lead with the Creator and Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God, who will teach us the ways of God, that we may walk in the paths of the Lord. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The second reading is from Romans chapter 13. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Word of God, word of life.
I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable as we turn to page 7 for the Gospel Acclamation. Jesus said, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying, in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, the owner would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise to you,
Christ.
You may be seated. In college, I had this alarm clock. It was like this little white square box. And it had the delightful sound when it went off in the morning, like a truck backing up. And my roommate absolutely hated the thing because, of course, I'm a snooze queen. You can ask my husband and anybody who's ever lived with me. I usually hit it about 3 or 4 times in the morning. So there's this one time when the thing went off. It was like, and I hit the button, and it was still beeping. And I got so frustrated. I hit every button on the whole thing, still beeping, that I yanked the cord out of the wall, still beeping. And I realized there actually was a truck outside my window. I don't know why this always is the story that comes to mind when I hear these wake-up texts. I think it's because we're so, like, numbed by the persistent noise in our world. Frequently in Advent, we start in darkness and move towards the light of Christ. But I know some of you have experienced other communities where they spun that on its ear and did it the other direction. And so I had Angela find some really, I just feel like we need all the lights on. Because honestly, I feel like what we're wrestling with is not too much darkness. It's those lower ones, there we go. But too much stimulus, right? And so my solution to this for us as we begin Advent, today's sermon is entitled Practicing Eschatological Existence in the Present. And I think that will totally help us, practicing eschatological existence in the present. Now, I know some of you are outdoorsy, and this is not scatology. See, some of you knew what that was, which is the study of poop. But this is eschatology, which is the study of the end times, not the end trails, but the end times, okay? So it's this idea of that when we're thinking about the end of things, that that somehow shapes the way we live in the present differently. Now, I need to say this to you, and some of you who probably know that I'm not somebody who prepares ahead, I'm more of a live-in-the-moment kind of a person, right? I don't spend much of my waking hours worrying about what is to come and what calamity might unfold. But here's the question of Advent, at least especially these first couple weeks. What if I did worry at least a little bit more than I do about things to come? How would that change my participation in this kind of earthly place that we're in, right? Now, I've heard the turn of phrase of some people of faith that they are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Have you ever heard of that? There's been even some pushback, and rightly so, that some Christian mindsets almost have been so like, this place is not our home, it's only temporary, that the fullness of our life will be later in heaven, that it almost opens up this excuse for us just to treat the world like crap. Like, who cares? It's only temporary. The good stuff happens later. And frankly, as a person of faith and Christian, I call that sinful. There needs to be some kind of waking up. It's not sort of like this thing that gets to happen after death, but how do we take sort of the long range of our decisions and how we think about things and ultimately consequences of the choices that we make here and now that could perhaps be life-giving, life-informing in how we move through our days and the choices that we make. Wake up! several of them going off. I'm very excited. If you could crank the volume on those, that'd be even better. generally speaking, I think it's this idea of waking up is that people had become turned in on themselves. See, there you go. That's where we go. Wake up! People have become turned in on themselves, which is what we call sin. And there needs to be this like moving out of ourselves, like, hey, wake up. Do you realize the choices that you're making and not making are actually having an effect on the people in the world around you? So it's this way of trying to get into our skin and help us notice what's going on around us in different ways. So again, normally in Advent, we'd start in the darkness and, you know, you light one candle the first week, wake up! And then the second week you light two candles, and the third week you light three candles, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. We move from the dark and gloom of our lives into the brightness of Christ. But I truly don't think that's our problem. I think the light of our attention is getting scattered all over the place all the time. I think our fight or flight, you know, reptilian brain is getting poked all the time. And this provokes in our lives things like adrenaline, anxiety, freakouts, stress, irritation, juggling too many things, busyness. It's like all our buttons are getting pushed all at once, all too often. And then the flip side of that is tiredness and burnout and depression, but also things like antisocial tendencies, and I'm not talking about a good introverted practice of taking time alone, that's essential. But when you really start to withdraw and disconnect, dreading collaboration, fighting change, or even being overly rigid about things, we start to shut down and shut the world out because there's so much stimulus around us. We haven't focused on the things that are most important to us. So this year, we're going to move from this glaring light of all the things that we think about day in and day out, and we're going to try and narrow our scope as we move through the weeks of Advent. If Advent is indeed about preparing for Christ's coming, we need to start peeling away all the distractions. Today's texts are about waking up to the things that are most important. We need to be practicing eschatological existence in the present, being prepared for the end in the here and now, like figuring out ultimately what is going to matter most in life, and then setting our priorities in the here and now accordingly. Too often people take this sort of line of thinking in scripture with this sort of scary, they've even made movies about it, like, Jesus is coming back soon, people, you better be scared, right? Have you seen the bumper stickers that say, Jesus is coming back soon, look busy? It's terrible. It's terrible, terrible theology. I think it's actually more like someone you really love and respect, somebody who really thinks the world of you and trusts you infinitely has taken some time away and they've left you in charge because they love you and they think you're great and they know you can do it. It's more like not wanting to let that person down or a community down, or even healthier, it's not just about not letting them down, but it's you found this joy in pouring yourself into this important task that you almost forget about the person who gave you the task to begin with. Because you're having such a good time, it feels really good to like dig your hands in and work hard, to be competent at something, to do things well. I mean, sure, each of us have our slacker side, and the whole Jesus coming back scenario may need to be something that holds us accountable from time to time, and we can embody that for each other, but ultimately, there's this larger narrative of there's really important stuff that we are to be about. And we need to wake up from the distractions that hold us from leaning into those things, to peel those away and kind of narrow our focus to what's most important. The practice of imagining yourself face to face with your life's choices, waking up to their reality and then preparing accordingly. This is a good practice for all of us. I mean, even if you're not a person of the Christian faith and Jesus doesn't necessarily embody things that matter most to you, there is still something larger than one person's individual place in the world that kind of holds us all together. I've been reading this book called The Overstory about how even trees talk to each other. And if there's disease, they have this capacity to speak with one another and protect each other. We can do this, humans. So what does that look like? What does that getting prepared look like? I sat in the cab of the IMCO truck with Medic Mark today. If you guys haven't met him, he's totally awesome. He saw me standing out in the cold. He's like, come, sit inside. I was like, okay. And we started chatting, and of course, this will totally surprise you. As we're waiting for the boat, a couple of our guests started doing yoga, because what else do you do when you wait for the boat? And so Mark and I were sort of giggling about that, and he goes, I do yoga, but in the mornings. I was like, all right. And then he just said this interesting thing. He's like, you know, because in my line of work, I got to be ready. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, being fit is really important because, I mean, we spend a lot of time sitting around, but if he's not in his best physical game, then when emergency strikes, he might not be ready to meet that. That doesn't mean that he walks around afraid all the time, that something horrible is going to happen. He just knows what his priorities are, and so he sets his day accordingly. Now, we are all entering into the stoking season, and I remember from last year, it takes a little while for the community to learn how to stoke. So it might mean that you're going to get woken up early in the morning or late at night, and we need, wake up! It means that we need to be ready, right? Do you guys have your go clothes ready? Do you know what that's going to look like? That if you get up in the middle of the night, that you got a set of boots, warm pair of pants, a jacket, a hat, and gloves. You got your go clothes, because if you're like me, you don't think very clearly when you get woken out of a dead sleep. You got to be ready, because it might just be us learning how to stoke fires, but it could be something real and serious that we need to be ready for. Now, again, this doesn't mean that we wander around terrified that the village is going to catch on fire all the time, but it does mean that we need to be prepared and to make some decisions accordingly, to know sort of the end game of what could be, making some small decisions in the here and now, because what happens is preparation helps us live our lives more fully. We take those small decisions, and if you're prepared for a fire, you're less likely to worry about one. And if you're prepared for a medical emergency, tend to be less worried that one might happen, and less worry means being more fully present to life. This whole idea of Jesus coming back is not supposed to make us quake and shake in our boots. It's this sort of like, remember, there are things that are important, and if you tend to them in small ways, you will be present to the fullness of life in larger ways. A life that is way more joy-filled and fulfilling. So what do you need to wake up to in your life? What are perhaps some bad habits that you do or don't do, small changes that you could make? Do you need more sleep? I know lately that's been one of my things, because I realize if I don't get enough sleep, then I'm not real present to any of you. Do you need less food or drink? I've been thinking about that as well. Do you need to spend less time avoiding someone or something? Do you need to check in with your family more? Do you need to take more time for quiet? Or maybe you need to engage people around you more. What are those small changes that we could be making as we focus in on what is most important to us? Ultimately, the question for us, and this I'll finish with, is what holds us accountable to these small decisions that we make? How do you get yourself to make those small changes that you need to think about the end game? What motivates you to wake up? Now, I found this sign, and I pulled it out of Dish Team because I was sad. But I keep thinking about it. You guys know this sign that hangs in Dish Team? Do you see what somebody did to it? They crossed out the words. Now, this is actually a quote from Teresa of Calcutta. She actually said plate. But it says, wash the dishes, not because they are dirty or because you are told to wash them, but because you love the person who will use them next, right? But what the person has done is they crossed out some of the words. So it says, wash the dishes because they are dirty. because you were told to wash them, and because you love the person who will use them next. So again, you know, it's sort of like these three things, and I think about the motivation. Wash the dishes because they are dirty. Well, that would be the responsible thing to do, and that can serve as motivation for you. It's good to be responsible. Wash the dishes because you are told to wash them. Well, obedience, also a good thing, sense of duty, right? Another thing that can serve to motivate us. Or you could wash the dishes because you love the person who will use them next. Now, maybe you don't love everybody in the village, but again, I still think there is something about interconnectedness. There's a larger meaning that holds us, a sense of purpose. When it comes to waking up to the things that we need to be about in our day-to-day lives, and how we think about those small choices affect our long game, I think thinking about motivation for us can be helpful too. We can't just do something because it needs to get done. And that can be life-giving to a point. I suppose if the only reason we ever did anything was because we were afraid of getting in trouble or somebody told us to, or obedience, I think that would get pretty exhausting at some point. But what about this interconnectedness as a motivation? How can we wake up to that sort of larger sense of meaning that holds us? I want to close with a quote from, it's actually a part of a sacred hymn from the Hindu tradition. Because for me, I think this just illustrates the universality of this. It's called Indra's Net from the Rig Veda. There is an endless net of threads throughout the universe. At every crossing of the threads, there is an individual. And every individual is a crystal bead. And every crystal bead reflects not only the light from every other crystal in the net, but also every other reflection throughout the entire universe. I pray that we are able to sense how we are being called to something larger, something deeper, something that holds us as individuals, but as a woven net of creation. God, may you bless our Advent journey in the weeks ahead. Amen. We continue with hymn number 242 in your red hymn books.
Out your joy.
21 in the Unfailing Light books. And we'll sing the refrain together.
Give David a piece of
For these 4 weeks will be a Korean hymn from the ELW, but I put the words on your half sheet, so they're there for you. Asoso, that's how they say it in Korean, but come now, O Prince. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. The Great Thanksgiving is found on page 10 in your Unfailing Light booklets. As you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand. The Lord be with you. Everywhere I which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And our loving Jesus taught us a prayer, and I invite you to pray that together as you feel most comfortable. Creator in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, for Jesus is the host and he invites you to come. You may be seated. I think, just to remind you, there's different options up here because we don't want there to be any dietary barriers. So the first person you'll come to in line, you'll be moving around this way, and there will be gluten-free wafers, and I have bread, and then you can either dip the bread in the common cup, which Lisa will be holding here, or you can drink from it directly. Otherwise, you can grab a cup from Tom here, and then this first pitcher that Chris has is wine, and then Ryan's got grape juice, and then you can put the empty cup there. So, again, come forward as you feel comfortable.
Thank you.
away the fullness of Jesus Christ, bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes, that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve, the fullness of creation. Abide with us as darkness deepens, and be our hope and highest joy, until at last, with all your saints, we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 254, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, and I invite you to stand as you feel comfortable. God and rise to serve. Thanks be to God.